This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Most people that have even a casual understanding of Scripture have an awareness that God's people in the Old Testament had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They can tell you that story, basically, but they have no clue as to why. The book of Joshua, the 5th chapter, in one verse says here's why they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. It was because of disobedience to the Lord. The book of Psalms is very explicit. We're going to read in a few minutes one of the most explicit passages I've read in a long time. In fact, I want to warn parents that you're going to have some explicit descriptions of the sins of God's people described, and you need to be aware of that if you have small children listening today. There's a price to pay for disobedience. That's the lesson we're going to discuss all week from Joshua 5. There's a price for disobedience to the Lord in your life and in my life when we willfully, deliberately disobey the will and the word of God. God bless you as you listen to Cross Hope all this week. He knew a man that wanted to open up a business, a fish business, and he put a sign out in front of his business that said this: fresh fish for sale today. Fresh fish for sale today. Somebody came up to him and said, well, why would you have that sign like that? You don't need to tell people it's for sale today. Everybody knows it's today. Take down the word today. So he did. Another person came along and said, why would you say your fish is for sale? You're not giving it away. You're not handing it out free. Everybody knows it's for sale. Take down the words for sale. Then later on, another person came along and said, well, hopefully your fish is fresh. You don't sell old, stale fish. Take down the word fresh. And so all he had left on his sign was the word fish. And someone came up to him and said, told him later, he said, you know, you just need to put your sign out and stand by it. You just need to put your sign out in front and stand by it. And he put it back up, fresh fish for sale today. He put out his sign and he stood by it. I want to challenge every man, every woman today to put out your sign in life that you are a person who not only believes in the Lord, not only appreciates what God has done, you actually obey the Lord. You actually obey His word because you not only believe it, you trust it enough to obey it, because there is a price in life 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago for disobeying the Lord, and there's a price for disobedience in your life and my life. What we're going to do today is read one verse. That's all we're going to read out of Joshua. We're in a series in Joshua. It's a verse that describes how the people of God had to wander for 40 years in the desert. And God gives the reason why they wandered for 40 years. And then we're going to look at a companion passage in Psalms that fills in the details and tells you the why and the wherefore. Let's read about it. It's in Joshua 5. It'll come up on the screen, Joshua 5, verse 6. It goes like this. The Israelites had moved about in the desert 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. Psalm 106, beginning at verse 33. Here's what they did. For they, God's people, rebelled against the Spirit of God. They worshiped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was desecrated by their blood. They defiled themselves by what they did. By their deeds, they prostituted themselves. It doesn't get any more graphic than that. Many times, the Lord delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion, and they wasted away in their sins. What a statement. For they rebelled against the Spirit of God. May I tell you what it means to rebel against the Spirit of God? To rebel against the Spirit of God means when God prompts you to do something, to say something, or to think something, and here's what you do. Nothing. Listen to that again.
To rebel against the Spirit of God is when God prompts you to do something. He prompts you to say something to somebody. Will you forgive me? He prompts you to do that. He prompts you to think a certain way, a new way of thinking, and you do nothing. That's called rebelling against the Spirit of God. And I know some people say, man, that's strong. I believe it's true. And I want to tell you this right now. I have rebelled in my life against the Spirit of God, and so have you. Please don't leave here. Say, well, I've never done that. Yes, you have, and so have I. There have been times when the Lord has prompted us to seek forgiveness from another person. You know what we did? We didn't do anything. I'm not a psychic here, but there are men here. The Lord has prompted you to apologize, for instance, to your wife about something that happened 10 years ago, and you still haven't done it. And you feel the Spirit of God prompted you, but you've done nothing. There are wives here that probably need to apologize to a husband for something, and they've been prompted not by their conscience, they've been prompted by the Spirit of God, and they've done nothing. And it's called rebelling against the Spirit of God when He prompts you to say something, do something, or think something. And we do nothing. I think the Lord prompts people to give. I don't believe in hammering people about money. It's an inside job. The Lord prompts a man or woman or teenager, young person to give to the Lord. I don't do it. You don't arm twist people into giving to the Lord for a building program or whatever. The Lord prompts people in their spirit. All I'm saying, it's possible to rebel against the Spirit of God. Here's the question. Has the Lord prompted you to do something, say something, or think something, and you've done nothing? It's rebellion. It's rebellion against the Spirit of God. Let's bring up the next verse, verse 34. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them when they went into the promised land, but they mingled with nations and adopted their customs. I wanted to know, what does that word mingled mean? And I found out it was a finance term. It could have to do with money. They exchanged money. It even means to sign a pledge like you would co-sign on a loan. I don't know what that meant. But in other words, there was financial dealings and adopting the customs of people that God said, get rid of those people. Get them out of the land. Here's my question to you. As a person who lives in the world, we're to be in the world, but the Bible says we're not to be of the world. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. You don't adopt the customs of the culture that violate the Word of God. See, they're not talking about cooking, and they adopted the recipes they had for making this or making that. They adopted the worship customs, and you say, well, how do you know they took on the religion of the people? Because of the very next verse, let's bring it up. They worshiped their idols, which became a snare to them. Now, this is really ironic. The people of God who worship the true God started worshiping the pagan idols of the very people they were told to get rid of or destroy. Isn't that amazing? They took on the gods of those people. Bring up the next verse because it gets uglier from there. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. The next verse. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was desecrated by their blood. Somebody's thinking, please tell me, Randy, this is just figurative language. It's not. They actually sacrificed children. Verse 39, if we could bring that up. They defiled themselves by what they did. By their deeds, they prostituted themselves. Personal question, private question, not for anybody else but you. But have you ever done anything that you felt unclean afterwards, morally or spiritually? We all have. It may have been some place you went to. It may have been something you watched. It may have been something you did, and you felt defiled. Do you know what that's called? It's called what Corinthians says to the people. He says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Did you know this building is not the temple? You are. I am. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and so what we do with our body may not make a difference to you or me, but it makes a difference to the one who lives in us, the Holy Spirit. I said this recently, the Holy Spirit goes with you everywhere you go. The Holy Spirit watches every movie you watch with you. The Holy Spirit participates in everything we do. That's not meant to scare anybody or freak anybody out. That's just the reality. If our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit lives in us, that means the Holy Spirit, in a sense, experiences what we experience in life. Why is it that people are afraid to obey the Lord? Could we bring up that last verse, verse 43? I didn't even talk about this in the second service because of time. Many times he delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion. What an interesting phrase. Have you ever known anybody in your life who, in a sense, was bent on rebellion? As a teenager, were you bent on rebellion? Did you have a brother or sister? That's how you would describe their life. They're bent on rebellion, meaning what? They're bent on doing the very thing they should not do. Don't ever let it be said with your walk with the Lord that you're bent on rebelling against the Lord. Roy Blount was an author from Georgia. He grew up in Georgia. He wrote a book called Be Sweet, interesting title, A Conditional Love Story. It was a reflection of his life. In this book, he talks about his mother. He said his mother was one of the most fearful people he ever remembers in life. And he said it wasn't until he was an adult that he understood the fears of his mother. Don't raise your hands, but some of you understand some things your mom and dad did now that you didn't understand 20 years ago. You see, that's why Dad was that way. That's why Mom was that way, because some uncle or an aunt came along and said, you don't know what they went through as a child or whatever the case may be. So someone came alongside Roy Blount and said, let me tell you why your mother was so fearful. Roy Blount said he couldn't do anything without his mother saying, you can't go there, Roy, because this may happen. Well, Roy, you can't do that on Friday night because this and this may happen. And his whole life, he just remembers his mother saying, you can't do anything because of this may happen, this bad thing may happen. And one of his uncles or aunts said, here's the reason. Your mom was abandoned as a child by her parents. Your mom was abused as a child by her parents. And Roy, that's why your mom is so fearful. It's not because she's paranoid about what you may do. It's because of all her past experiences have just come to affect everything she does in her life. And you say, what does that have to do with obedience? Simply this. I think some people don't obey the Lord because they're afraid, what will happen if I do obey? What will my family think? What will my coworkers think? What will my wife or husband think if I say, I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. I'm actually going to obey Him in my life. I'm going to obey this book that people make fun of called the Bible. And out of fear, people rebel against the Lord. That's just a thought for somebody today.
A lot of people have heard over the years a reference to the Israelites wandering in the desert for 40 years. What I have found is that most people have no idea why, that maybe they were lost, they didn't have a GPS, whatever the case may be. But they wandered around the desert for 40 years, Joshua 5 says, because of their disobedience to the Lord. They disobeyed the Lord in that they took on the gods of the area. They sacrificed children to the deities that the people worshipped in Canaan. It was a horrible picture. And that's why they wandered. It was a punishment until all the men of military age when they left Israel had died. What a statement. We continue this message today with part 4.
Long before I went to Columbus, Ohio to minister, and for 18 years there was a Lutheran minister that was in Columbus, Ohio years ago when the object you would use to worship was the organ. Some of you grew up in churches where that was the sole musical instrument. There were no guitars and there were no drums. It was just the organ. And so Edward Kuhlman at, I think, Third Street Lutheran Church in Columbus, Ohio, tells about going on a tour of churches around Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. They were looking for a new organ for their church and they went to check out different organs around the Midwest. Came to one particular church and Edward Kuhlman said he walked in and he saw the most beautiful pipes that he'd ever seen on an organ. And he said, instantly, I thought, this is the organ that we need. Whatever it costs, we need to get it. They all sat down, the committee, on the 4 or 5 rows in the front here. They waited for the organist to show up. He comes walking in, fires up the organ, and starts playing. And Edward Kuhlman said he heard no sound from the pipes, but he heard sound coming from speakers behind grill cloth on either side of the sanctuary. So he went up to the organist and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Is there something wrong with the pipes? We're not hearing any of the sound coming out of those beautiful pipes up on the wall." And here's what the organist said. Oh, he said, "Oh, Pastor Kuhlman, those pipes are just display pipes. There's no sound that comes out of them. The sound comes out of the speakers behind the grill cloth. Those are just display pipes." And then Edward Kuhlman in his book said, "I wonder how many churches in America are filled or have people in them that are display Christians. There's no obedience. You don't think I really obey this stuff, do you? You don't think I follow it, do you? I go to church, but that's it." And you know what? Edward Kuhlman, who wrote that decades ago, is absolutely right. Every church, and I don't care if it is a Presbyterian church, a Methodist, a Lutheran, Catholic, it doesn't matter, Charismatic, Baptist, it doesn't matter, Christian church, every church has people that are display believers. That may describe you or me. No power, because there's no obedience. No power because there's no obedience. The message today is about the price of disobedience. 40 years, people wandered around the wilderness. Think about that. 40 years. How many, if you're over 50, go back to 40 years ago and think about where you were, what you were doing. That's a long time ago. 40 years ago. And they wandered around 40 years because of the sin and the disobedience that you never knew about until today. You never knew what the sins were, but you heard that they rebelled against the Spirit of God. They mingled with other nations and adopted their spiritual religious custom. They worshiped their idols. They sacrificed their children to idols. And they were bent on rebellion. Let none of that be said of you or me.
Well, I'd like to ask you to make every effort to hear the conclusion of this message about why the people of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. We'll conclude this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. God bless you.
Everyone has memories or photographs in your mind. Some of you remember the jets going into the World Trade Center. That's the image that's in your mind. Others of you remember when the buildings came down, and that's what you remember. But the one image that is the greatest image for me is one that some of you have already forgotten about, perhaps, but you'll remember it when I remind you. It didn't appear right away, but as they were clearing away debris on the site, there was a piece of steel that was opened up and made available or to be seen, and it was in the shape of a cross. Do you remember that? The cross that was there? And people made it a shrine, and they put flowers there, and people lit candles there, and people put pictures of their loved ones there on that cross. And that became a symbol. That was powerful for me to see the cross. Let me tell you why it was powerful. Because of a hymn that we don't sing in our worship anymore. A hymn written by John Bowring years and years ago. John Bowring was a man who was a sailor who was shipwrecked off the South China coast at night in a horrendous storm. And he said every time there was a flash of lightning, he's hanging onto a piece of wreckage or a piece of wood. Every time a lightning bolt would light up the sky, it would light up the cross on a cathedral. And so every time a bolt of lightning would strike, he'd see the cross. And after his experience of surviving that, here's what he wrote. "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime." What a line. "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time." Whether it's the World Trade Center, a shipwreck, or your life, the cross is the one thing that brings meaning and understanding to your life. Listen to the fourth verse. "Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified." We don't use some of those words. Let me tell you, we know what pain and pleasure is. Most people do. We know what the word blessing means, but most people don't know what that word means, B-A-N-E, bane. It means anything destructive or ruinous in your life. Anything ruinous or destructive in my life and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. Some of you need to take a childhood today and lay it at the foot of the cross and let it be sanctified by the cross. and say, I did have a terrible past 30 years ago, but I lay it at the foot of the cross, and somehow the Christ of the cross gives meaning and understanding to my soul that it's not a meaningless event, but it's sanctified. So many people need to know that God wants to sanctify their past, meaning what? He wants to take what's happened in your past and use it to bring you closer to Him. Instead of cursing God and dying, instead of saying, God, why did you let it happen? We lay it at the foot of the cross, and the Lord says, let me sanctify it in your life and bless you in your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word today from Joshua and from Psalms. It's a one verse that's always intrigued me. Why did they have to wander for 40 years? And then Psalm 106 says, here's why. Here's the deal. Here's what happened. And then all of a sudden I understood why your people had to wander for 40 years. Serious business called disobedience. Lord, would you bless this invitation time in this service? I know people are planning to come in this service. If there are others that aren't planning to come but need to make a decision regarding their relationship to you, if there are people that need prayer today for a need in their life, who need to take that bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, and say, Lord, I want it to be sanctified by prayer today, what I'm going through. Lord, bless this time as we share an invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.